Turn, if you will, this morning in your Bible once again to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 14. And by the way, if you need to call me now, a young lady loaned me a nice phone, so got my number back in there. So if you need to call me, call me. It's been pleasant this week. But now I've got a phone back. So, number's the same. Look at verse 15. Of Luke chapter 14, verse 15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread of the kingdom of God." And then Jesus said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have brought a piece of ground and must go and see it. I asked you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I asked you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.'" Let us pray. Our graciously heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. And God, I realize this morning that if you do not speak to our hearts through the Holy Spirit this morning, that we will not understand your word. And Lord, I ask that you bind Satan away from our hearts and just loose the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, that we might see you this morning. Not this preacher, not anything that may be going on around us, but focus our eyes on you. And God will give you all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I don't know about you, but growing up, we had a house full, and we loved I loved Thanksgiving. I loved Christmas. I loved those times when our kinfolks would come, because I knew there were going to be a feast. There was going to be food on the table. Now, growing up, we always had plenty of food. We lived on kind of a farm, and Daddy had just about every kind of thing that was on that farm, and we ate just about all our little friends. Somebody told me never name a calf, because that's a bad thing to do. When you're telling your children, they say, "What was this we're eating?" Well, it's your friend. But you know, I love those banquet times. I love the gathering together of a happy occasion, of a feast. And here in the Bible, he talks about a banquet, a feast as a happy occasion, alive unto God, and everything's beautiful. It's all made ready. And the gospel bells ring out this morning. There's a feast. The banquet table is ready. There's a feast prepared, the Bible says, for all. And happy are those who come to the feast. Instead of being envious onlookers from the outside, happy are those that are feasting at the table, or at the banquet table. I'd ask you this morning, are you feasting at the table of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Have you come to know Him and let Him come into your life? I want us to look at the feast this morning. Now, before there's a feast, you know what? There's a lot of preparation that goes on. I can remember Mother getting ready for the coming of the in-laws and outlaws and all in-laws. I remember her going out and, you know, back then we'd get a chicken or two out of the coop, and Mammy and Grandmother could... I didn't say nothing. You know what I'm talking about. There's kids in the audience today. But, you know, that was so good. I love chicken. Somebody said, what's this you got carrying in front of you? Well, you know, a belt is a fence around a chicken graveyard at a preacher. I love chicken. I never get tired of chicken. I like chicken. I like chicken fried steak. I just like the word chicken. It's good. Well, Mother would prepare those chickens, and she always had yams and mashed potatoes and, oh, man, green beans. We just had a feast. Before the banquet, there's a lot of preparation goes on. And, you know, Jesus says, I want you to come to the banquet, for all things are now ready. The table has been set. The place has been prepared. The banquet is ready. You know what? Before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, God prepared for the feast. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He said, it's now ready. It is finished. So the banquet table has been prepared. The invitation is going out. And Jesus says, come. Come to the feast. Come to the banquet. To those who are hungry, you come. To those who are athirst, you come. For those who are heavy laden, you come. For those who are like little children, you come. And then He says, whosoever will may come. And that whosoever will this morning includes you and I. We have been invited. The banquet table has prepared. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave His life that we might have life. And He says, listen, I want you to come to the table. Whosoever will may come. God's invitation this morning is to every one of us. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, everything has been prepared. God says, come to Him. And in between the decision to hold the banquet and the individual's decision to accept the invitation is the divine preparation for the banquet. You see, it was the plan of the Father. I believe God's plan was there. Even before the foundation of the world, God's plan was there. God surrendered up His Son, Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, I love John 3:16. I talked about it a little bit last week. For God, the creator of the universe, for God who created the stars in the sky, for God who placed the moon up there. I love looking at that big old moon. For God who lets the sun rise and set. For God, who is the sustainer of the universe, sustainer of our lives, you could not go anywhere. You could not do anything. You couldn't even be here today if God hadn't allowed you to get up this morning and come. Do you realize that? That little old heart that you have that just beats, beats, and beats. God holds it in His hand. God has given you life. So God, for God. And then, so loved. For God, so loved. You see, the plan of the Father, even before the foundation of the world, gave His Son for you and I. for God so loved me. I often wonder sometimes why God loved me, why God has chosen me. Have you ever wondered that? Why God lets you exist? You see, He so loved you. Don't think for a moment that you're not important in God's plan. For God says, I so loved you that I was willing to lay down my son, my only son. You see, salvation is not cheap, folks. It was the price of His son, who He freely offered His precious blood, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that precious blood is what was shed for salvation. Something had to die. And since you and I are not perfect, since you and I could never live a sinless life, since you and I could never die for the sins of the world, God so loved you, He sent His Son to die for you and I. You see, that's the price of this banquet. That's the price that has been paid and prepared for you. And then we see not only that, we see the presence of the Holy Spirit, how He urges people to come. Now, how many times have you sat where you sat and the Holy Spirit would say to you, you need to make a decision. You need to make a decision, maybe for Christ. You've never accepted Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit has urged you time after time to come to the banquet. It's like He sent out invitations, you see. He said, send these invitations out. One man, the Bible says, said, I can't come. I've got an excuse. I just can't make it today. He really didn't want to come to the banquet, you see. How many times have you made that excuse? You really didn't want to accept Jesus Christ, so you just sit where you were and said, Holy Spirit, I don't want to listen to you today. I'm not going to let go of this pew. I'm not going to walk down. I'm not going to make a decision today. Some other day, someday when I'm not quite so busy, you see. How many times have you done that? We have resisted the Holy Spirit's urging to come for salvation. I remember growing up, I remember how the Holy Spirit would work in my life and try to get me to come down, and I would say, no, I'm not going today. The old devil always gave me an excuse, but that's just what it was, wasn't it? It was an excuse not to move forward with my life, not to accept the invitation to the banquet. Not to get in on that feast. Oh, how we love a feast, but we don't want to go to the banquet that is being prepared for us. How many times we have resisted the Holy Spirit's urging? Well, service after service, I know I sit for years. But God was patient. God kept working in my life. God kept moving things around in my life. You know, you said, well, you know, I feel pretty uncomfortable sometimes. That's God moving, trying to get you so uncomfortable that you will get before Him and get right. You see, He wants you to be uncomfortable. He wants you to realize that, hey, without Christ, we're lost. We're sinners, aren't we? I don't see how people sit in church after church after church service and reject the Holy Spirit. But yet they do. And then there's Christians that are born again believers who live outside of God's will for their life. They're always hanging on to part of the world. They're always stepping back into the world and saying, you know, I just want to, I don't, you know, you're kind of like Lot's wife. You're looking back to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's dangerous. We can't lose our salvation. But boy, when we're out of fellowship, man, we're really in a rut. How many times have you sit there and said, you know, I need to get right with God. I want revival in my life. I want to be revived again. I want to come back to life. I want to have that freshness with God that I once had. I want to be able to pray and know that God hears my prayers. I want my children to know that God's in my life. But right now, you know, I hate to, man, I just didn't serve every week. I just can't go to church every week, Lord. You know that's confining on my lifestyle. And we reject him that way, you see. We refuse that way. And the Holy Spirit continues to patiently work in our lives. How many times we are out of church? I know when I first came down here in 1985, I met a lot of people. I'd go knock on doors, and people would tell me, well, preacher, I go to my home church is up in Dallas. They moved down here from Dallas. I hate to move my membership from that church. You know, I was a member of that church up there for years and years and years. I said, well, are you going back up there every week? Oh, no. I got out here and I hadn't been going to church. Why not? You know, why don't we get in a church where we can worship? Why don't we get in a church? Maybe you're here this morning and God's saying, you know, you need to join in with that church. Would you come? Don't resist that. Wouldn't you like to get back on fire for God and work in his church and do what he wants you to do? Well, that's the invitation. You see, everything has been prepared, and there's a lot of preparation for our banquet. There's a lot of things that go out, and one of those are the invitation to the banquet. Now, you know, some didn't want it. One said, I bought a piece of ground. One said, I have 5 yoke oxen, and I believe the only truthful one probably couldn't go is the one that was married. You see? Today, there's so many who want to enter the Christian life, and yet we make all kinds of excuses not to come. And you know what I find in this passage of Scripture? Not only those who make excuses not to come, there's some that when the invitation goes out, they wouldn't miss it, would they? Have you ever been left out of a party? Some reason or another, I've left out a lot of them. They just didn't invite me. I don't know why I'm so lovable and nice. You know. But you know, it hurts, doesn't it? Well, when these made excuses not to come, guess what? He said, listen, go out and invite those that are sick, those that are lame, those that are blind. The poor, the lame, and the blind. And you know what? They were thinking, oh, I finally got invited. Man, they had few opportunities in life. But you know what? Jesus says, listen, I want everybody to come. And conscious of their need, they were ready to go. Thank God for all those who are aware this morning that the gospel is for every single one of us. I said last week in my message, there's not a person in here today too bad that God can't save. There's not a person that's done something so bad that God will not forgive it, you see. If David committed murder and God forgave him, if David committed adultery and God forgave him, God can forgive you and wants to forgive you. He's willing to forgive you, but he wants you to realize what you've done, and he wants you to come to him and say, Lord, here's what I've done. I'm ashamed of it. And Lord, I won't do it no more. And repent of that and turn away from it. Let me encourage you this morning. Don't miss the invitation to come and find rest. You know what? I know what you're going through. If you're out of God's will and the Holy Spirit's working in your life, which I hope he is, and I hope he's bothering you, I know what you're going through because you just can't find rest right now, can you? you're really being bothered. You're saying, well, man, he's got my number. Somebody will go out today and they'll say, boy, preacher, you preached to me this morning. And I'm going to think, why didn't you move? Why didn't you do something about it? Do you like the Holy Spirit beating you over the head every week? I don't. You know, when the Holy Spirit touches your life, do something about it. Man, they couldn't wait to come. They couldn't wait to be filled with the riches of the feast. Some of them just couldn't believe it. The beggars and the tramps and the out on the highways of life. Man, they had never been invited to a banquet like this. And now, he said, I want you to go out even into the hedges. They probably thought, man, this is a mistake. Inviting us? But God says, no, it's no mistake. The master said, no, it's no mistake. I want you to compel them. That word compel means lovingly persuade people, convince them that it's for you also. Folks, I don't know how to better say it, but the gospel is for everyone. There's no red, yellow, black, and white in the gospel. The gospel is for everyone. The Ethiopians that our team is over there visiting today, the gospel is for them. Jesus died for them, just like he did you and I. Those that are under the bridge, drinking in a drunken stupor, God loves them. He wants to try to lovingly compel them to come in. But you know, so many times the people in the church keep those out of church from coming to the church. And God says, listen, don't go out there and beat them over the head. Lovingly compel them to come. Lovingly persuade them to come. Convince them. Because salvation is meant for all. If you're here and you've never come, don't delay. Don't delay. Don't put it off. The Bible says come right now. Today is the day of salvation. He says here in the Word of God, come. Look at verse 17. For all things are now ready. And you know what? When they come to the banquet, there's the appreciation of the banquet. Once we are at the feast, boy, we discover there's many blessings. Many blessings. Now, what are you talking about? Many blessings. Well, let me tell you. Once you come to God, you'll find that one of the blessings are forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. You see, when the four friends brought their sick person lame, he was in a bed. They lowered the bed down through the roof. You know what Jesus said? Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but if I couldn't walk and I'd been laying in that bed, I would want him to say, probably, arise and walk. But no, Jesus knew the real sickness in this man's life was his sins. And to him, when Jesus said, listen, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven, I know that he had a peace in his life, a swelling up of love and joy, a blessing. Forgiveness is what we need. Think of the woman just a minute who had been taken in adultery and had brought to the feet of Jesus, and they were going to stone her, and he said, you who were without sin, you cast the first stone. One by one, they left, the Bible says. And he looked at the woman and he said, woman, where are your accusers? And he says, your sins have been forgiven. Don't you know those were glorious words? The leprous man cleansed and his sins forgiven. The demonic. Think about a demonic person out in living in the caves and the cemeteries and cutting himself and, you know, running around out there without any clothes. No one loved him. No one except Jesus. And he says, your sins are forgiven. Now he's in the right mind. And he wants to follow Jesus Christ. That's the way we all are, you know. I'm going to preach on temporary insanity tonight. The man crippled that had been laying there for 30-something years wanting to be put in the water. Jesus says, rise and walk. The woman at the well, five husbands and living in adultery, forgiveness is what she needed. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. When you come to Jesus Christ, one of the greatest blessings we find is the forgiveness of sin. And we certainly need that. I never will forget when Byron Jones was saved. He was sitting on the fourth row over here on the right-hand side from the preacher. And I needed forgiveness of sin. And that night when I stepped out by faith, oh, it was blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. You know, forgiveness of sin is what I needed that night. And then not only that, he says peace of heart. Man, when Jesus is about to be crucified in the upper room with his disciples, he's about to go out to Golgotha to be put on the cross. He said to his disciples something like this. Listen, guys, I'm going to leave you, but I'm coming back for you. And right now, peace I leave with you. Not as the world leaves, but my peace. Folks, the world offers all kinds of things out there today that people think they can get. They think they'll find happiness. Oh, if I can just have this new car. Oh, if I can have this new house. Oh, if I can have this new cell phone. Oh, if I can have this new whatever it might be. They never bring peace, do they? But when we come to Christ, he says, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world leaves, but he gives us a peace of assurance. Don't pass that gospel feast by this morning. If you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit is urging you to come, don't make an excuse not to come. Come on to him. He'll give you forgiveness of sin and a happiness of heart, a peace of heart. And then there's a holiness of life. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify God. Oh, Paul said that I might just know Christ and him crucified. I want holiness of life, he said, more than anything, more than all the wealth this world has to offer. What I want is to be like Christ. Wouldn't you like that in your life? Just to be like Christ. You know what? My wife is one of the best cooks I know. I can brag on her because she knows she's good. Man, she can make a chocolate pie that you put a little bit right there and your tongue going to beat your brains out trying to get to it. I'll guarantee you. It's good. I don't even like coconut pie, but man, when she makes one, I'll eat every bit of it because it's good. She can cook some of the best food, and it shows. But you know what? I can tell you how good it is, but that don't do you any good, does it? The only thing that does you good and really proves it is you taste it. And when you taste it, you'll know, oh, he wasn't lying. She's good. But that's the way it is about Jesus, see? I can tell you how good he's been to me. I can tell you how good he is. How forgiveness will bless your heart. And how he gives us peace. But that's all I can do is tell you about it. If you want to know, you have to taste him for yourself. You must come for yourself this morning. And let's look, not only that, we have the dress for the banquet. The banquet that he's talking about here is not one of these white tie or collar affairs. But there is a regulation for the dress. The regulation to come to the feast is the robe of righteousness, which only Christ can give. You don't have to purchase it. He says, when you come, you can have my robe of righteousness. Your robe is as filthy rags, isn't it? But when you put on Christ's righteousness, it's a holy righteousness. In the decoration, well, I believe when you go, I like this, see? When you go into the fair or whatever this might be, you know you're going into someplace, don't you? You don't have to know that when you go into Six Flags Gates, what do you expect? You expect the rides, don't you? You expect to have fun because that's what the gate says. Tickets to ride the ride. I love Brother Thomas. I guess he made this thing by hand. I was thinking, you know, if he would just put a little motor on that thing. But I couldn't ride it. The weight limit would be terrible. But I thought that was so neat to go into the fair and ride the rides. I like the Ferris wheel. It's my speed. But you know what? When we go to the banquet, the ticket's already been bought. And there's a decoration there. And I believe instead of tickets, it'll be a banner of love. A banner of love, God's love. Love is a theme. I love that song. Love is the theme. Love is supreme. Sweeter it grows. Glory bestows. Don't know anymore. Bright as the sun, sweeter it grows. Love is the theme, eternal theme. Eternal love. Oh, don't you know in heaven it's a beautiful place? You know, I've had a lot of people tell me they had died and gone to the gates and the lights are bright and all of that, but I just don't believe that we'll ever know how just beautiful it is till we step inside the gate. You see, we are the objects today of God's amazing love. Have you thought about that? He loved us so much. And if he loved us, shouldn't we love him just that much? Let me ask you today. The feast is ready. The banquet's table's ready in heaven. It's all been prepared. Jesus Christ died for you and I. He sent out the invitation, come. 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 I preached on that last week. Come receive joy. Come receive peace. Come receive love. Come. Just as you are. Come, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood, blood, lose all their guilty stain. He says, would you come this morning? Come under the blood of Jesus Christ and step inside and let him put on the robe of righteousness over your life, that you might have forgiveness, that you might have peace of heart, that you might have all the blessings of glory. Wouldn't you like to have that? It's offered freely. All you have to do is, the Bible says, by faith, trust him. Put your faith in Christ this morning, not in the world, but in Christ. That's all you have to do. Come like a little child. You know, little children are so innocent. Little children say the sweetest things sometimes, and then they say some of the awfulest things sometimes. But you know what? God says we need to come just like a little child. Don't think about, well, I'm up in the years. I surely know how to get to heaven. If you haven't come by faith in Jesus Christ, you've missed it. There's only one gate, and over it is love. God is love. You have to come by the way of Jesus Christ. Would you come this morning? I'm going to give in verse 2 of invitation. You've been invited to the banquet. You have no excuse not to come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for these that are here. And God, this morning we've been invited to the banquet. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, Lord, we realize and we would say, I don't know why those people wouldn't want to come to the banquet. Those silly excuses they gave. And yet, Lord, we sit here and we know we need to come, but we offer the same silly excuses. And the closing of this chapter says, none of these that offered up these excuses would have part in the banquet. Lord, let us come by faith. Let us step out this morning and come to you. Whatever decision we need to make, whether it's to rededicate our life, to come for salvation, or to come for membership, Lord, may we come. We give you all the praise and glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.